Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Wednesday, July 24th, 2019. Coming up this hour.
NASDAQ futures fall after the U.S. opens an antitrust probe into big tech companies.
U.S. negotiators will head to China for face-to-face talks.
Deutsche Bank reports a wider net loss than flagged during its restructuring announcement.
Boris Johnson takes over as U.K. Prime Minister today.
It's testimony day for former special counsel Robert Mueller. Plus, there are reports Puerto Rico's governor will resign. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm Rob Bushka. Ahead in sports, Yankees win one of the most exciting games of the year. And Robbie Cano with a career night as the Mets beat the Padres.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston. Bloomberg 960 San Francisco. Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Interactive Brokers, rated number one best online broker in 2019 and low-cost online broker for the 18th consecutive year by Barron's. Learn why at ibkr.com/yib.
And futures are lower this morning at 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 11 points, Dow futures down 77, NASDAQ futures down 52, the DAX in Germany's up 0.1%, 10-year Treasury up 7/32, yield 2.05%, yield on the 2-year 1.81%, NYMEX crude oil up 0.4% or 23 cents at $57 a barrel, COMEX gold up 0.33% or $5.30 to $14.27 an ounce. The euro, 1.1139 against the dollar. The yen, 108.06. Nathan.
Karen, we are seeing weakness in technology shares this morning with the Justice Department opening an antitrust probe into big tech. We get the very latest live from Bloomberg's John Tucker. John, good morning.
Nathan, the department's antitrust division has disclosed plans to scrutinize tech platforms following mounting criticism across Washington that the companies have become too big and too powerful. The department's scrutiny comes after repeated attacks on the industry's biggest names by President Trump. For Lori Calvacina at RBC Capital Markets, it's just another reason to underweight tech.
It's a very crowded, it's a very overvalued part of the market, but it's one a lot of investors have clung to for lack of better options.
She made the comments earlier on Bloomberg Daybreak. The Justice Department didn't specify which firms it would look at, but strongly suggested Google, Amazon, and Facebook are in the crosshairs. In the pre-market, shares of Amazon down 0.9%. Facebook is down 1.5%. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. The probe comes as Facebook gets set to report earnings. A preview from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
The analyst survey by Bloomberg see the world's largest social network reporting adjusted earnings per share of $2.24 on revenue of $16.49 billion. As always with Facebook, among the closely watched metrics will be monthly and daily active users. Analysts at Bloomberg Intelligence say reduced ad targeting due to the EU's general data protection regulation, policy changes, and regulatory issues may affect the second half. And in its earnings report, Facebook may also have more to say about plans for its proposed Libra cryptocurrency. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. Other key earnings today include Boeing, Caterpillar, AT&T, and Tesla.
A couple stocks get you updated on this morning. Shares of Texas Instruments are up nearly 6.5%. The chipmaker gave stronger than predicted sales and profit forecasts for the current quarter. Snap shares are up 11%. Growth sped up after the social media company rolled out an improved version of its Android mobile app. And same-store sales beat estimates at Chipotle. That stock rose more than 3% after hours.
Nissan Motor says a media report that the company's operating profit dropped about 90% last quarter was, quote, broadly accurate. Nissan officially reports earnings tomorrow.
In Europe, Deutsche Bank reported a wider net loss than flagged during its restructuring announcement. The German bank also says the outlook for lower interest rates will increase pressure on revenue. The company's CFO, James von Moltke, spoke to Bloomberg's Matt Miller.
We are very aware that the outlook deteriorated during June. Frankly, it does represent a revenue pressure for us and all of the banks if rates from here go down further.
Now, shares of Deutsche Bank now are down almost 3.5%.
Shares of Aston Martin are down more than 22%. The luxury sports car manufacturer cut its full-year sales forecast by as much as 14% after weakness in key markets intensified.
It is officially the changing of the guard in London today as Boris Johnson takes over as UK Prime Minister. Let's get the latest live from Bloomberg Daybreak Europe anchor Roger Hearing. Roger, good morning.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. It's a few hours before Theresa May leaves Downing Street for the last time as Prime Minister. In the political theatre of UK politics, she has to hand back her mandate to Queen Elizabeth before Boris Johnson can receive it. Once he in turn has visited Buckingham Palace to be asked to form a government, he'll go to Downing Street to begin work. His first job is to name his cabinet and fulfil his defining task, taking the UK out of the European Union by October the 31st. Reporting live in London, I'm Roger Hearing, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Roger, thank you. Back in the U.S., former special counsel Robert Mueller will face questions from Congress for the very first time in a long-awaited hearing about the Russia-Trump investigation. Bloomberg's Amy Morris reports from the 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
Mueller will publicly testify before two House committees in back-to-back hearings. First, he'll be before the Judiciary Committee and then before the Intelligence Committee for a total of 5 hours. Now, this will be the first time the former special counsel has faced questioning about his nearly two-year-long probe. And he has made it clear he will not discuss any details not within the four corners of his 448-page report. Mueller's former chief of staff will sit next to him and act as counsel. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Radio.
Amy, thank you. Live coverage of the hearings begins at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time on both Bloomberg Radio and television.
U.S. trade officials head to China next week for the first face-to-face talks since May. A senior administration official says the meetings are not expected to lead to major breakthroughs. Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross tells Bloomberg it's impossible to judge how long a deal will take.
What is important is that if we make a deal, it's a proper deal that is a really good deal. That's his overriding objective, and that's much more important than exact timing.
The sides remain at odds over significant issues like Washington's demands for structural reforms to China's economy and Beijing's call for the U.S. to remove existing punitive tariffs on imported Chinese goods.
And the stage has been set for the Justice Department to approve the merger of mobile phone carriers T-Mobile and Sprint. Bloomberg has learned that Dish Network has agreed to pay $5 billion for wireless assets the two companies are divesting. T-Mobile and Sprint have been fighting for more than a year to get their merger approved. Futures are lower. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Karen, thank you. It's 6:07 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr has more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Nathan. The Senate approved a measure to guarantee the September 11th Victims Fund never runs out of money. The vote was 97-2. Actor and activist John Stewart has been a tireless advocate for sick first responders.
We can never repay all that the 9/11 community has done for our country, but we can stop penalizing them.
President Trump is expected to sign the bill into law. It would extend funding through 2092, guaranteeing anyone 9/11-related illnesses to be covered. Puerto Rico Governor Ricardo Rosello is poised to resign after 2 weeks of protests drew tens of thousands to the streets of San Juan. That's according to two of the island's largest newspapers. The crisis began after a leak of Rosello's scandalous text. President Trump sued to block the House Ways and Means Committee from obtaining his tax records from New York State. In the lawsuit filed in Washington federal court, President Trump is attempting to fend off committee chairman Richard Neal's potential request for the documents under New York's Trust Act, which compels the state's tax department to comply with the House committee's records request. President Trump continued to go after four Democratic congresswomen of color. During a speech before the Turning Point USA's Teen Student Action Summit, the president hurled insults at the group.
This is representing us. This is not what we want representing us, I don't think. And I think it's why we're going to have a tremendous victory in 2020. These people are crazy.
The four freshman congresswomen include Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Ilhan Omar, Ayanna Pressley, and Rashida Tlaib. About a week ago, Trump told them to go back to the totally broken and crime-infested places from which they came. Hours after the Senate confirmed Mark Esper as the next defense secretary, he was sworn in by Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito last night in an Oval Office ceremony attended by President Trump. Esper spoke briefly after the oath.
Mr. President, it is a privilege for me and for my family to be here with you today. Thank you for your leadership and for your commitment to a strong national defense and to all of our service members.
The Senate vote was 90-8. Global News 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Good morning, Rob Buschka.
Morning, Nathan. The Yankees-Twins game had it all on Tuesday. Defense and just enough offense to outlast first-place Minnesota.
Line to right center field. There's a base hit. Didi rounds third. He scores. So Gleyber Torres comes through with a ribby single to right center. And the Yankees take a 13-12 lead.
Yankees radio 14-12, the final in 10 innings. Didi Gregorius with 7 RBI, and Aaron Hicks had a game-saving catch as the Yankees even up the three-game set at a game apiece. 20 base hits, including Didi, who went 5-for-5. Aroldis Chapman with the win, which erased the worst start of the year for Domingo Germán. He just didn't have it. Gave up 8 runs, never made it out of the fourth inning. Rubber match comes your way at 8 o'clock. Then it's on to Boston for a 4-game weekend set. Jay Happ and Jake Odorizzi tonight. Yankees lead the East by 10 games over Boston and Tampa Bay after the Red Sox beat the Rays 5-4. Boston starting to heat up. They're in second place for the first time since March. Mets, they rebounded off the disappointing road trip with some home cooking and Robbie Cano with a career night.
He hits this ball deep to right. Down the line. If it's there, it's gone. Home run. Number 3 of the night for Robinson Cano.
Mets radio, 3 homers he'd finish with, 5-2. They beat the Padres and are 5 games above 500 at Citi Field. First career 3 home run game for Cano as Jason Vargas improved to 500. Tonight, Noah Syndergaard climbs the hill. And the sad saga continues for former Met pitcher Dwight Gooden. He was arrested for the second time in a month, Monday in Newark. It was for DUI as he was driving the wrong direction on a one-way street. And that's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Nathan?
And Rob, a big win for Nike. It signed Zion Williamson, the number one pick in the NBA draft, to a shoe deal with its Jordan brand. Terms not disclosed, but it likely ranks among the most expensive shoe deals ever for an NBA rookie. It comes 4 months after Williamson's Nike sneakers fell apart during a game. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Coming up to 6:12 on Wall Street, straight ahead, we keep tech in focus with a preview of earnings from Facebook and Tesla. Dan Ives, Director of Equity Research at Wedbush Securities, joins us next.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and Bloomberg Daybreak is on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check of the latest headlines with Hannah George at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning, Karen. Facebook, Google, Amazon, and Apple are falling pre-market after the Justice Department said it's investigating whether dominant tech companies hurt competition in their markets. The antitrust unit will look at search, social media, and online retail. Snap jumped after daily active users and revenue topped estimates, boosted by an improved Android app. Texas Instruments also gained on a stronger-than-predicted sales and profit forecast. And sources tell Bloomberg Dish will pay $5 billion for wireless assets being sold by T-Mobile and Sprint, paving the way for the U.S. to approve the $26.5 billion merger of the carriers. For the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen.
All right, Hannah, thank you. And you mentioned Snap. It's up 10.5% this morning. Facebook is down 1.4%. S&P futures are down 9 points. Dow futures down 61. NASDAQ futures down 47. The DAX in Germany is up 0.3%. 10-year Treasury up 6/32nds. Yield 2.05%. Yield on the 2-year, 1.81%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.3% or 20 cents at $56.96 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.3% or $4.50 to $14.26.20 an ounce. The euro, 1.1143 against the dollar. The yen at 108.10. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, Democrats and Republicans in the House are gearing up to question the former special counsel in the Russia probe, Robert Mueller, about his report. Mueller is set to testify before 2 House committees this morning and afternoon. You can hear it on Bloomberg starting at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time. Boris Johnson is set to form a cabinet for modern Britain, as he calls it, as he prepares to become prime minister following his victory in an election to lead the governing Conservatives. The incoming leader has just over 3 months to make good on his promise to lead the UK out of the European Union by October 31st. In baseball, the Yankees and Mets were winners. The Red Sox won along with the Nationals, Orioles, A's, and Giants. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air, and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. 6:20 on Wall Street. I'm John Tucker, and we're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Looks like big tech may be in the crosshairs of the Justice Department. Joining us this morning, Dan Ives, Director of Equity Research, Wedbush Securities. Dan, I'm actually old enough to remember the breakup of Ma Bell. Are we going to see anything like that?
Look, I think that's the worry, especially when you go back to Microsoft in the 90s, early 2000s. Is this going to be a Groundhog Day? And I think ultimately the bark's worse than the bite here, but it just shows the bright spotlight right now on big tech from the Beltway and potentially even from Brussels, which is a risk to these names.
Absent a breakup, may we see new restrictions on their power, though?
Yeah, we ultimately believe where this ends up, and it's probably 2 to 3 year investigation, is going to be fines and tweaks to business models. We do not see any breakups, although if I had to scale it, I'd say the ones, you know, probably most at risk would be Amazon and Google. Least at risk would be Apple. And I think this is one you're going to see the drum beat louder, especially going to the 2020 elections. On both sides of the aisle, there's definitely a pressure and spotlight on FANG names.
Okay, if you look at the valuations for these stocks, is it just another reason to maybe underweight these this sector?
Look, in my opinion, it's another reason to overweight it, because I continue to focus on the fundamentals and what's really happening in terms of e-commerce, social, as well as next-gen infrastructure. These are names we continue to be bullish on, which continues to be our long-standing thesis. And I view this as more noise, and fundamentally, I think these are names that continue to go higher, even though it's an added risk factor into the names.
Okay, back to the antitrust issue. The antitrust law seems to focus on companies that raise prices too much. Is it hard to argue prices have gone up, I guess, with this respect to these companies and the industries in which they're involved?
Well, that's the tricky issue. I mean, if you look at fees that, let's say, Amazon or even Apple have charged, that have stayed pretty constant. So I think that would be their argument. And if you look at antitrust laws, unless Congress decides to change some of the laws, it's going to be very difficult to actually make a case of that sort of collusionary price perspective. I think the bigger issue will be a focus on some of the social media platforms like a Facebook in terms of WhatsApp and Instagram. And that's going to definitely, especially given Facebook's history, going to have a pretty bright spotlight on them as they go into the Beltway.
Okay, what's the earnings landscape look like for you?
Look, I mean, we continue to see strength over the coming week from a lot of these tech names. I think Facebook, you'll see strong number in terms of user growth. And ultimately, in terms of advertising, even though there's a lot of fears, online advertising continues to be strong, and I continue to see upside in these names. Probably the one that sticks out most is Apple, as well as Amazon, in terms of names that we think are disconnected relative to expectations.
Specific to Facebook, the earnings, of course, after the close. Before that, maybe fines for privacy violations. What's going to drive the sales specifically for Facebook?
Really, for Facebook and Zuck, it's about user growth. Can they continue to see user growth, which I think they're seeing through Instagram as well as their core platform? And as long as the advertising business continues to look rock solid, which we believe it is, the stock continues to move higher. And I think that's why there's a lot of noise in Facebook. But you go back to the last year and a half, it's a stock that continues to move higher, and I view this as a step in the right direction.
Tesla. You also have Tesla in your coverage. Record quarterly deliveries. Can they actually turn that into profitability, though?
That's a $64,000 question. You had to definite positive in terms of 2Q deliveries. Can they show a profit into the second half of the year? And what the delivery trajectory looks like going into even 2020. That's going to be the focus of the street. This continues to be an emotional bull-bear battle. And for Musk and Tesla, this is a big earnings night and guidance, as this could really sway the stock either significantly higher or lower. And I think right now we continue to be cautious on the name, given that demand trajectory.
Okay. I mean, is there any clear path to profitability? Just a few seconds left on Tesla.
I mean, I continue to think that there's a better chance of man being in Mars than them having a sustainable, profitable trajectory, given where we see it.
Okay, well, they may get there first with SpaceX. Thanks a lot, Dan. I appreciate it. Dan Ives, Director of Equity Research at Wedbush Securities. And ahead of the market open of Wall Street futures, pointing to a lower open, the Dow futures right now, down 63 points. S&P futures, they are down 9 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.
John, thanks. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by New York Community Bank. Ask about their My Community Interest Checking with free New York Community Bank online and mobile banking. Earn more, get more. Visit mynycb.com for details.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. You're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. We're seeing U.S. futures lower, led by tech stocks, after the U.S. opened an antitrust probe into big technology companies. We get the very latest live from Bloomberg's John Tucker. John.
Well, Karen, the Justice Department's antitrust division disclosed plans to scrutinize tech platforms to determine if they're thwarting competition. The announcement marks the latest sign of the escalating pressure coming down on tech giants, from Capitol Hill to President Donald Trump, who accuses the companies of silencing conservative views. The department didn't specify which firms it would look at, but strongly suggested Facebook, Alphabet's Google, and Amazon are the focus. Facebook shares down 1.3% in the pre-market. Amazon down 0.9%. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Yeah, John, you mentioned Facebook. It's going to be one of more than 40 companies that report earnings today. We also hear from Boeing. Preview from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
The analyst survey by Bloomberg see the beleaguered plane maker earning $1.96 a share on revenue of $19.15 billion. But the big focus of this report will be what Boeing has to say about the future of the 737 MAX jet and the timetable for getting it back in the air. The planes were grounded following two fatal crashes within a span of 5 months, and last week the company announced a nearly $5 billion charge related to the jets. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Charlie, thank you. Shares of Texas Instruments up more than 6.5%. The chipmaker gave stronger than predicted sales and profit forecasts for the current quarter.
Snap shares are up more than 11%. Growth sped up after the social media company rolled out an improved version of its Android mobile app.
In Europe, shares of Deutsche Bank are down almost 3%. The bank reported a wider net loss than flagged during its restructuring announcement.
And Bloomberg News has learned satellite TV provider Dish Network has agreed to pay $5 billion for wireless assets in a deal with T-Mobile US and Sprint. That could set the stage for the Justice Department to approve the $26.5 billion merger of the mobile phone carriers.
S&P futures down about 9 points this morning. Dow futures down 65. NASDAQ futures down 47. The DAX in Germany's up 0.25%. 10-year Treasury up 7/32, yield 2.05%, and the yield on the 2-year 1.81%. NYMEX crude oil on the rise, up about 0.2%, or up about 0.1% now, up 7 cents at $56.84 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.3%, up $4.10 at $1,425.80 an ounce. The euro 1.1144 against the dollar. The yen 108.08. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news, and this is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. 6:33 on Wall Street. Let's get the latest world and national news now from Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, Nathan. Former special counsel Robert Mueller testifies before two House committees today. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
5 hours of testimony expected, and he is expected to stay within the bounds of his report. So what does Judiciary Committee Chair Adam Schiff hope to get?
A better public understanding of the gravity of what the Russians did, the systemic nature of what the Russians did, and the gravity of what the Trump campaign did and what our own president did.
Now, the president has said he might listen to parts of the testimony. Republicans like Mitch McConnell and Lindsey Graham.
No, I don't intend to be watching it.
And I don't think anything Mueller can say that's going to change
anybody's mind.
In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
FBI Director Christopher Wray appeared before the Senate Judiciary Committee, which is examining oversight of the Bureau. Wray says the threat of Russian interference in the U.S. elections is ongoing.
The Russians are absolutely intent on trying to interfere with our elections.
Wray also believes that homegrown violent extremism presents the greatest threat to the homeland. President Trump sued to block the Democrat-led House Ways and Means Committee from obtaining his tax records from New York State. It is the latest attempt to keep his personal financial information out of public view. The president is suing as a private citizen. Boris Johnson will formally take office as UK Prime Minister today and seek to build a government that will bring his Conservative Party together and deliver Brexit. Johnson was a British Foreign Secretary and the Mayor of London from 2008 to 2016. The Senate passed a bill, 97-2, to fund the 9/11 Victims Compensation Fund. It permanently compensates individuals who were injured during the 2001 terrorist attacks and their aftermath, rescuing people and removing debris under hazardous conditions. Senator Kirsten Gillibrand has been fighting for 9/11 first responders.
Finally, we have the chance to get this job done for our 9/11 heroes once and for all.
Republican Senators Rand Paul of Texas and Mike Lee of Utah had been trying to block the bill. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. 6:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's Rob Buschka.
Good morning, Nathan. For all the offense the Yankees threw up Tuesday night in Minnesota, it was the defense they'll be remembered for.
Kepler lines that in the air to left center. Hicks on the run, dives, and he made the catch! He made the play! Oh my goodness, what a catch from Aaron Hicks to end it!
Yes, on the call, 14-12 in 10 innings at Target Field to even up the series at 1. Didi Gregorius went 5-for-5 with 7 RBI and 6 pitchers, bailed out Domingo Germán, who was tagged with 8 runs in 3 2/3 innings. Worst start of the year for the 12-game winner. Series wraps up tonight at 8 when Jake Odorizzi hosts Jay Happ. Then it's on to Boston for a 4-game weekend set. Boston beat Tampa Bay 5-4, pulling them into a tie for second place with the Rays, 10 back of the Yankees. It's the first time since March the Red Sox have been in second place. Mets saw Robbie Cano touch them all 3 times for the first time in his career as the Mets opened a homestand with a 5-2 win against San Diego.
You know, I'm glad that I did it today. Helped the team to win the first game of the series. And, you know, whatever I accomplish, that's something that I'm going to look back when I retire what I've done. But right now, it's all about winning for us.
New York is 5 games above 500 at home versus 13 below on the road. And former Met pitcher Dwight "Doc" Gooden is in trouble again. He was arrested for the second time this month, Monday, for DUI in Newark after being spotted driving the wrong way down a one-way street. This follows his July 7th arrest for suspicion of cocaine possession. Gooden is 54. And that's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Nathan?
Rob, thank you. It's 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. With some 92,000 votes, Brexit impresario Boris Johnson has become the new Conservative Party leader and hence the UK's Prime Minister. And in just months, the country is set to leave the EU, potentially precipitating its biggest crisis since the war. Is Johnson up to the challenge? His Brexit plans give reason for pause. Johnson wants to completely renegotiate the deal the EU and UK have hashed out, yet he has scarcely specified what should take its place. And he's vowed to withhold Britain's $48 billion divorce settlement unless the EU meets his terms. If this strategy fails, he has vowed to leave without a deal. But this is likely a bluff. His actions suggest he doesn't take that possibility very seriously. There's not much that he does seem to take seriously. In fact, if Johnson senses the gravity of this moment, he's given few signs of it. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. For more Bloomberg opinion, visit Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And you can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. Coming up to 6:39 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Green Report. Here's Joan Doniger.
Home Depot is looking to live part of its advertising slogan, more doing, when it comes to sustainability. Last year, the home improvement chain set targets to reduce carbon emissions, the goal a 40% reduction by 2030 and 10% more 5 years later. The company says it's been making progress in that direction, too, cutting store energy use by more than a quarter compared to 2010. And that puts it ahead of its goal for next year, when it had hoped to cut energy use by 20%. Home Depot isn't alone in its concern for sustainability either. Bloomberg Intelligence says five beauty, home, and personal care companies could be carbon neutral by 2030 because of consumers making the environment a priority. And it turns out doing good could see them all do well. Estee Lauder, L'Oreal, Church & Dwight, Unilever, and Beiersdorf have had their best shareholder returns since 2015, having set that 2030 carbon neutrality target. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Joan Doniger.
All right, Joan, thank you. At 10:30 a.m. Wall Street time, the Energy Information Administration releases its weekly oil inventory report. Bloomberg's Jessica Summers has a preview.
Analysts are expecting a 4.26 million barrel decline in U.S. crude stockpiles, and the API reported a nearly 11 million barrel drop. But the big focus will be on fuel inventories. The API reported a 4.44 million barrel build in gasoline at a time when summer demand should be stronger. If the EIA data confirms an increase of that size, it will be the biggest since January. In New York, I'm Jessica Summers, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Jess, thanks. And two private equity firms are among those to buy an aircraft finance unit owned by General Electric. Bloomberg News has learned Starwood Capital and Apollo Global Management have submitted offers for PK Air Finance. The business could bring about $4 billion. GE's been moving away from lending since the financial crisis. This is Bloomberg. Coming up to 6:41 on Wall Street, the Mueller hearings begin in less than 2 hours. Will they be more than a media moment? We check in next with Brown University political science professor Wendy Schiller as Bloomberg Daybreak continues.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. It is 6:47 on Wall Street. Futures are lower. We go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. Like you said, U.S. futures are under pressure right now. Dow futures down 49 points. S&P's dropped 7.5 and NASDAQ futures decline by 39. The U.S. 10-year yield at 2.06%. Gold is trading higher and Shanghai rose 0.8% overnight. Well, European markets are trading mixed this morning. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 9:45, market U.S. manufacturing and services PMIs, and at 10 o'clock, new home sales. After the bell last night, Visa EPS beat the highest estimates, and Chipotle comp sales beat estimates, while Snap is up 11% in the pre-market after its numbers. Regarding some of the earnings this morning, AT&T wireless and video subscriber net losses exceeded estimates, and look for Boeing and Caterpillar to report around 7:30. In deal news, Dish is said to pay $5 billion for wireless assets being sold by Sprint and T-Mobile. And in other news, the DOJ escalates big tech scrutiny with a new antitrust probe. Wrapping things up, Sony's was upgraded to overweight at J.P. Morgan with a price target of 120. Live from the First Break News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, today all eyes will be on Congress as former special counsel Robert Mueller delivers his long-awaited testimony. That testimony will be televised over two hearings regarding the Russia probe. You can hear it on Bloomberg Radio starting at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time. It's a political changing of the guard today in Britain. Boris Johnson will take over today from Theresa May as the next prime minister. A federal judge blocked three new abortion restrictions from taking effect today in Arkansas including a measure that opponents say would likely force the state's only surgical abortion clinic to close. In baseball, the Yankees and Mets were winners. The Red Sox won along with the Nationals, Orioles, A's, and Giants. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. We're at 6:49 on Wall Street. Time to check in on what's happening in D.C. The top stories in our nation's capital include the broad antitrust probe from the Justice Department into big technology companies. U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer leading a team of negotiators for new talks in Beijing next week. And President Trump suing to block the House from getting his New York State tax returns. Also making news, of course, in less than 2 hours, former special counsel Robert Mueller begins about 5 hours of testimony before two House committees on his report into Russian election interference. For more, we're joined by Wendy Schiller, political science professor at Brown University. Wendy, you know, the Democrats who have organized these hearings say it's more likely Americans will watch the movie than read the book. I guess the question is whether many Americans will feel like they've seen this movie before.
Well, I mean, I think it's a very different thing to have somebody testifying about it. You know, the man's name is Mueller and he'll be there testifying. And it provides an infinite number of sound bites that can be replayed on all the cable networks and all social media and YouTube. I mean, it's an enormous treasure trove, theoretically, for the Democrats to replay, you know, snippets here and snippets there to remind voters that they believe, some of them, that this president obstructed justice.
Is that the calculus then? Is this a precursor to a full-blown impeachment proceeding, or is this leading up to the 2020 race, or both?
I don't think that Nancy Pelosi, with every ounce of her speakership power, is going to allow this impeachment proceedings to go forward in any way. I mean, inquiry versus proceedings, I just think she understands it to be a political loser right now. But the tide could turn. You know, if voter opinion changes, she might change too. But I just don't see that happening. I think it's much more about the next, you know, year or year and a half. And it's about, you know, exerting congressional power. But it's also about reminding voters about who this president is and how he operates. And the same thing goes with the tax return inquiry. Sort of the idea is, what is he hiding? Why is he always trying to block things? Why is he hiding? Who do he want to fire? And just let that sink in over the next year about this guy and remind voters about that over and over again. That's what today is about.
And ahead of the hearing, President Trump already trying to frame the terms of what we could see today. He tweeted moments ago, quote, "So Democrats and others can illegally fabricate a crime, try pinning it on a very innocent president. And when he fights back against this illegal and treasonous attack on our country, they call it obstruction. Wrong. Why didn't Robert Mueller investigate the investigators?" End quote. He has literally tweeted about what he has called the witch hunt, Wendy, thousands of times, and certainly no let up this morning.
No, and his followers totally agree with him. And I think it did not help anybody's cause on the opposite side that Mueller would not take that step to recommend impeachment proceedings or call it something worthy of impeachment. But there's a big difference. If the Democrats can move off the idea of collusion with Russia, because basically Mueller says that the Trump campaign was too incompetent to collude with Russia. It's not that they didn't try, it's that they weren't good enough at it. But the second part about obstructing justice, about firing Jim Comey and doing all sorts of things to interfere and threatening, you know, witnesses through Twitter, all those sorts of things, that's the piece that I think could bear political fruit for the Democrats if they play it right.
Yeah, it's interesting that you pointed out that way, because we all remember in the 1990s that obstruction of justice was one of the articles of impeachment against former president, then President Bill Clinton, and that didn't work out so well for the Republicans.
No, it did in the sense that they won the White House in 2000. It was a really close presidential race. Granted, you know, the Democrats won. I mean, Republicans lost 8 seats, I think, in 1998, and Newt Gingrich went down. But generally, they fared pretty well. They kept control of Congress, and they got the presidency back. So it wasn't actually, in the end, a political loser for them. So that's something we have to also remember about that, you know, that sequence. And they're always more unified. I mean, when it comes to sort of using their political tools, you know, like sledgehammers, they're more unified than the Democrats. That's the second question. Well, the Democrats want to talk about health care, the economy, and education, or are they going to want to talk about this? And that's a messaging thing that they have not clearly worked out yet.
Yeah, and the question, I guess, then remains, you know, are there any voters who haven't solidified their opinions at this point on where they stand about how they feel about Mueller's findings? I mean, the bases on both sides are pretty well entrenched. I mean, could this move the needle, change any minds, do you think?
Yeah, I think they're trying to sort of lay the seeds for this, where there are people who are comfortable with a good economy. They're comfortable right now. They feel like, you know, the president is all talk and no action, and they may be supportive of the president's immigration policies, but they call themselves independents, and they don't love this president, but they're voting for him because they think the country's doing okay. You start to chip away at that in terms of their comfort level with this particular individual and his conduct, particularly if he ramps up some of the sort of dictatorial, you know, rhetoric that he likes to use, I think, and the economy turns just a little bit by next summer, I think that's the sweet spot for the Democrats, particularly in some of the swing states.
Yeah, when you talk about dictatorial rhetoric, we heard some of that just yesterday at the Turning Point USA event, where President Trump said Article 2 lets him basically do anything he wants. I mean, is he playing a risky game here?
Well, it's not risky so far. I mean, Congress, going all the way back to George, not all the way back, I mean, it's not that long ago, but with George W. Bush, you know, the Republican Congress ceded a tremendous amount of power to the president, mostly on national security, but over time, Obama took advantage of that too. So the executive branch is enormously powerful. It's not just that Trump can do it. It's that the executive branch can do a great deal, and Congress has ceded so much power over the last two decades, it's going to take a long time for them to get any of it back. And they don't look particularly, you know, equipped to do that right now. So that's really, in the end of the day, what Trump sort of, you know, illustrates is the power of the executive is enormous. So it's not just about him. It's about how he can use that. And Congress has not yet shown the capacity to stop that in a way that I think some people who look at the Constitution would like.
Brown University political science professor Wendy Schiller, always good to get your insights. Thank you. Stay with Bloomberg Radio and television for live coverage of the Mueller hearings beginning at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time. Right now, it is 6:56 on Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
I'm Tara LaChapelle, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. If you have DirecTV, you may be among the millions of subscribers who lost access to CBS in recent days. CBS, the most popular U.S. television network, went dark on AT&T's DirecTV and U-verse in markets such as New York, L.A., and Atlanta amid a standoff between the media giants. They're in dispute over the rate at which AT&T's platforms can air CBS programming. With channel blackouts on the rise, it's an inconvenience that's becoming all too familiar for viewers. And during these blackouts, both parties will often use media campaigns to pass the blame and put pressure on the other side to reach a deal. But customers are tired of this old song and dance. They just want consistent service at a fair price. That seems like it'll be harder and harder to get. And that's because the industry may be turning more anti-competitive to protect profit margins in the wake of cord cutting and consolidation. The good news for those without CBS right now, at least it's not football season. I'm Tara LaChapelle. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion commentaries every weekday at this time. Karen.
Nathan, thank you. We continue to watch shares of Snap up more than 11.5% in early trading after its sales and users topped analyst estimates. AT&T posted its first quarterly profit decline in 4 years and suffered another record plunge in pay TV subscribers, a situation that looks to worsen after the company lost access to CBS programming in a contract dispute. And Hilton Worldwide Holdings increased its full-year guidance. And futures this morning are moving lower. Bloomberg Surveillance is straight ahead with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.